Are You Playing?
Hello, and welcome to What the Bleep Are You Playing? A podcast where we play a game, many times bad, and tell you why the bleep we play it. I am What's Up, Sean? Be very, very quiet. I'm Hunting Thomas. And Mason, who is in a hole. And we played... Bugs Bunny Rabbit Rampage for the Super Nintendo.
Nobody's going to get that because nobody else was watching us play this except for you two.
Mason fell into a lot of pits.
It's the over and over.
It's the same. The same fucking ones too. It's the,
we'll talk more about it.
It
later.
Was as if Mason put magnets on Bugs Bunny's feet and then dropped the magnets down into every pit in this one level and just kept being attracted to it. Just.
Anyways.
Yes, I had to make it your name because we were laughing so much. As we're jumping back into Looney Tunes.
This is our second Looney Tunes game.
Second Looney Tunes game because the first season we covered Back in Action. And I wanted to cover another Looney Tunes game. I was just trying to find the right one. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to cover Bugs Bunny Lost in Time because spoilers for an eventual season. I love that game enough. I want to make it a season finale.
Mm-hmm.
Bugs and Taz Time Busters, I don't fucking own. Acme Arsenal, that game's shit. So
what's the one? Isn't there one that's just called like Loon?
Yeah, Loon's Battle for Fame.
Loon.
That's a Power Stone clone. I don't have an OG Xbox, so I don't have that game.
Oh, is it a? It's an OG Xbox.
It was an Xbox.
Yeah, Xbox exclusive.
And there are a lot of Looney Tunes games, but a lot of them are on the older systems, the consoles, because. My goodness, Super Nintendo, Nintendo, Game Boy were like, ooh, you're saying we can milk and send out another, you know, cartoon, Looney Tunes-based game out? Let's do it.
Do you think any of the developers making these games were like, right, we're going to make this game, and then one day a young basketball player is going to play it and become
LeBron James. Fuck that. That's so stupid.
In fairness, this game came out right around Space Jam.
Really?
It was 93, so a couple years before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Super Nintendo.
This game came out actually in 94.
Oh, it did?
Yep, 94.
I misread then. The copyrights in 93,
yep.
That's what I was thinking.
February 94 in North America, June 24th in Japan of 94, and then September 29th in Europe.
Developed by Sunsoft, you said, right?
Sunsoft was the publisher.
Or the publisher, my bad.
It was developed by Viacom New Media, which I couldn't find much about their video game division, but man, they've got lots of TV and stuff like that. They were a sister company to Nickelodeon.
Okay, I was going to say, because Viacom's like Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Sunsoft did a lot of stuff, and they are the Japanese company. They are both a developer and a publishing company that has been around and still exists. They had the Looney Tunes license a bit to be able to do it. Also had Batman license and Adam's Family license back in the day.
That's funny, because we're so used to these license games being made by like a studio that's... I was like, oh, they went defunct in 2012 or something like that. But no, this one's...
Still around. Still going still strong. Kicking. Still tweeting.
Still tweeting.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll spoil some of our feeling there, but this game's... There's so much fun and goodness to talk about in this game.
There's a lot of good.
It was... And just by the nature of the podcast and our love of license and different things that we do for games, it's inevitable that we will consistently play bad... licensed games back on the Super Nintendo, the Game Boy, things like that.
Yeah.
So it was
There's
nice
a wealth of them.
That we booted up this game, checked its reviews, and go, 4.3 out of 5. Nice.
Yeah,
it's like 4.3 out of 5. There was like 7 out of 10s across the board. So.
This thing, well reviewed, liked, just... dripping with Looney Tunes love.
Look, for us, it might as well have meant that the game cartridge was dipped in gold. Look, compared to some of the stuff that
I was going to say, ever since I suggested Muppets and the day we started playing the game, I look up reviews and it's like, I bet these got like 5 or something. 2! 2 out of 10s, baby! Oh, fuck!
Still the worst reviewed game we played is Muppets on the Game Boy Color.
So, ever since then, I have constantly looked up reviews for games I suggested.
But yeah, you know, obviously the Super Nintendo at this time, and I mean, the Nintendo as well, in previous iterations, had lots of licensed games, including Looney Tunes games. But this is kind of that early 90s time when a lot of like licensed platforming games came out on the Super Nintendo and the Sega. Disney was starting to pump out their games. You know, you had tie-ins to the major movies. You had different things going on. So it makes sense that they would make a Looney Tunes platformer.
Yeah, because you said like movie tie-ins around this time, and my mind immediately went to the two biggest ones, probably Lion King and Aladdin.
Yes, and this game is very similar development and very similarly built to those games.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It's a platformer, and the villain's hitboxes are very weird.
Very weird.
I thought you were about to say it's a platformer, and it's a platformer.
It's a platformer.
And like Lion King, it's, you know, animals that you're fighting, and you are... Difference is, this like one throws pies.
But like Aladdin, it's humans. Okay.
But like Aladdin, there's dynamite. Wait.
Like Aladdin, there's homicide.
Yikes.
Yeah, this game's very obviously a platformer. It's kind of different than most platformers out there. You can't directly jump on the enemies. You have to attack in midair to do it.
Mm-hmm. And the enemy is just touching them is not going to kill you. They have to also directly attack you.
Yes.
Which I really do like in platformers.
I was going to say, I appreciate that. It makes the game a bit fairer.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because, yeah.
There are elements in this game that aren't particularly fair.
Yeah.
Because it's a Super Nintendo platformer.
It's a Super Nintendo platformer, and this was the era where they were like, oh, kids are renting these games. We can't have them beat them over a weekend. Kick their shit in.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think we may have briefly mentioned it in the Back in Action episode, but one of the things we've talked about is that Looney Tunes, I think more than any of the licensed platformer tie-ins that we've played, Looney Tunes makes so much sense as a licensed platformer.
Yeah,
especially
if you're gonna cast Bugs Bunny as the main character.
Yes.
A platformer makes sense.
And especially in this 2D platforming style with these almost 3D looking sprites.
Yeah, they're not totally 3D, but it genuinely, the sprite work in this game is amazing.
Amazing.
Let's get that out of the way. The work in this game is fucking phenomenal.
I was shocked when looking at it at like how well, like how much the level of detail was in the like I think back to like other licensed platformers that we've played. What was the Spider-Man?
Spider-Man X-Men Arcade's Revenge.
Yes, and they look like all the character sprites in that game look like vague approximations of those characters to me. At least how I remember it, I might be remembering it wrong.
I mean, you just are filled with hatred and disdain for probably, it. So you know.
You know, that might be it. It might be my hate blinding me.
It is, but
but they were able to translate so well. The animation style of Looney Tunes in this game, it almost reminded me of playing like a 16-bit Cuphead, which I think is pretty high praise because I love Cuphead.
A little bit. Genuinely, the sprite work is good enough that obviously it's not going to look exactly, it's still 16-bit. But if you smoothed out the edges, it could possibly look like the cartoon.
Yes.
Yes. And the fact that the reactions and the actions made by, you know, your main character, Bugs Bunny, you know, whether he's in air jumping or doing his, you know, big slam move or his kick, all of them look so fluid and it feels very much like the character is just being ripped right out one of the shorts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everything the character's doing this feels in character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is surprising that they were able to pull that from the Super Nintendo, which it's a capable of making like good looking games, but they're not always.
I feel like Mason just needs to play more of these, you know, the platformers of the time, because it looks very similar to a lot of them. It's great. I love the sprite work in it, but a lot of games, Super Nintendo games around here that did.
Well, I know that, but I'm thinking, like, this is This is I think, probably one of the earliest licensed games that looks the most like the thing that it's
licensing. From, it helps, you know, it's licensing from a 1950s.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even then, the character designs look a lot like the 90s shorts.
That's true. That is actually very true.
This is based off a 1955 short. This is based off Rabbit Rampage, a 1955 short. It's Duck Amuck. The short is Duck Amuck, but instead of Daffy Duck, it's Bugs Bunny. The main plot of this game is that Daffy Duck seals Bugs inside of a painting and is just fucking with him. So Bugs has to jump through these various hoops, various shorts to take Daffy down. Which is funny because in the short, it's Elmer Fudd that's fucking with Bugs.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Because it was the animator that was like the villain, and it turned out to be Elmer Fudd in the short.
Yeah.
And in this one, it turns out to be a Daffy Duck and his multiple personalities.
Just to tangent a little bit on that short, I think Rabbit Rampage is like a top 10, maybe even top 5 Looney Tunes short for me.
Think it's good, but I don't know.
I really like that short. It's a weaker version of Duck Amuck. Duck Amuck is a top 5 for me. That's a very basic choice, I'm aware. But it's a top 5 for me. Rabbit Rampage is good. It is really good. But I think Daffy leans more into that slowly losing his mind story arc than Bugs does. But that's just me.
Because Daffy is always one step from losing his mind.
Yeah, like in this game where he loses his mind and develops multiple personalities exactly. to attack Bugs.
Bugs, you encounter the classic, you know, his classic villains, I'd say, but he's a classic antagonist.
His rogues gallery.
Elmer Fudd, Marvin the Martian, Yosemite Sam, Tasmanian Devil, and Wile E. Coyote. Which, you know, there aren't that many shorts where he runs from Wile E. Coyote, I feel like. I know there are a few, but...
There are a few, and those are always notable because they're the ones where Wile E. talks.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, yeah. It is interesting that, you know... And I think good that they decided to include Wile E. Coyote as one of his antagonists in this.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been just they were wanting to find popular Looney Tunes characters, but I think it fits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, Bugs is fighting Porky now. Like, no, that wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. Each level is based around the character or the boss that you are fighting.
Yosemite Sam is in this game. He's not his cowboy version. He is his knight version.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which, as he should be, because that short is so funny.
Yeah, that's a
top five short.
That's a top 10.
Him with the armor.
Open that bridge up, Armin. Open it,
Open the bridge.
Close the bridge. Yes.
Close it up.
But the sound design in that one with the armor clinking all the time.
Yeah.
So good. So good. Right choice. I really do like this and the level design that it is based around each of these villains, each of these characters that you face, that you have very much what they would be in. You know, Elmer Fudd is obviously in the middle of the forest hunting wabbits.
Speaking of level design, I didn't get very far in this game.
Because you were always in a hole.
Because you were always...
The second level has so many bottomless pits, and a lot of times it's very hard to anticipate where they are.
Well,
even
you were also going
seen
very
the same
fast.
One, I was going pretty fast, that's true. But there were so many things attacking me, I had to get out of the way.
And there's the biggest complaint that I have on this game, and I think Thomas is very similar.
Yeah,
there is at times
too much
going on in the levels.
There's too much going on.
You know that Mario Maker level where there's just all the spinning fire things that he's done?
Yes.
That's at times sometimes what the level feels like, that you're dodging different bosses. There's bullets flying at all times. Squirrels are dropping acorns. There are things falling. You are dodging stuff all the time. And they do give you plenty of health. You do have
a good sized health meter.
A
good chunk of health, so it's not
And there's
like,
health everywhere.
It's
but,
not like, again, X-Men Arcade's Revenge, where, like, three hits and, Cyclops gets capped.
Yeah.
Yes. It is that kind of that Super Nintendo difficulty, but it is still clearly designed with younger audiences in mind that they're going to be sitting and playing.
Yeah, this is a game where if I sat down, I feel like I could just beat it in an afternoon.
Yeah, sit down and play for a while and get good at it. Yeah, absolutely. Could get pretty far in it, if not beat it in one day, you know,
right.
Sitting down. But there is that. That is, I think, the biggest complaint that we found from it is there's just at times too much going on, but that is also kind of par for the course in these the genre and the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I did really like the controls once I got felt them. I liked what was each map to each button. I liked how they felt. I thought it was very intuitive.
And my only issue with the controls is that it felt, at least personally to me, that like the jump, like when you go to jump, there's just enough of a delay between hitting the button and actually jumping that I didn't really like. It's the jump felt a little stiff and didn't feel like you could control it a whole lot.
It felt like a Super Nintendo platformer to be in the jump, but I do see what you're saying. But that, again, that kind of is par for the course.
Yeah, I was going to say, a little bit, I do kind of see where you're coming from with it. So.
Like, in a different game, like, if this wasn't a Looney Tunes game and it controlled the way that it did, it would have frustrated me more. But at the same time, because it's Looney Tunes, I was distracted by that. I feel like if I kept playing further than I did, I'd start to get more frustrated.
You were distracted by the Waskly Wabbit.
I was.
That Waskly
Wabbit. I kept getting distracted by all the damn holes I kept falling in.
That was your own damn
Not
hole.
Not all. One. You kept falling in one damn hole, buddy.
And then you finally overcame that hole to find the next hole.
The next bottomless pit and then fall into the third one.
And then went back to the second one. It was...
I did fall in the same
pit
a lot.
In
my defense, there were a few points where it wasn't by my own volition.
Oh, yeah.
Knockback is a thing in this game.
Knockback is very much
yes,
a thing.
That there was were, three times there were... out of the 16.
Mason burned through continues.
I did. I was playing like I was a cartoon where there's no,
there's no lasting damage.
I couldn't be hurt.
I'm invincible.
Like a discount firework on the 4th of July, Mason burned through it.
I can't remember what game it is that I've played, but I swear there was a game that I've played that had a gag where like every time you jump into a pit, there'd be a character that'd go, aah! And I can't remember what game it is. Specifically,
I haven't played this game, but that reminds me of Mortal Kombat Mythologies, where every time you fall in, it's the same footage of Sub-Zero. Oh,
one of the features
it's the Kirby falling off the cliff.
One of the features in this game that I absolutely adore: the checkpoint is an item.
Yeah,
that is such a cool feature.
It was a very interesting feature that I don't think has ever been done.
I haven't seen it very often.
It hasn't been done very often. The only thing I can think of is the Ori games. Ori and the Blind Forest and Ori and the Will of the Wisps does that.
Okay.
But that's it. Those are the only other games I can think of where you control your checkpoint.
That is so much... Because that adds strategy into it.
The Soulsborne games, but that's more if you're just wanting to kick your own dick in.
True, there is an element of that, but it's a strategy element of like, where do I want to use my checkpoint? Okay, I'm low on health, maybe this is... Because they give you, I think, usually only one checkpoint per level, maybe two.
They give you like two. It depends on the level.
Yeah. And so you trying to figure out where you're going to use it. Maybe you get to save it. Maybe it's right before the final boss. Or, you know you're about to die. If you drop a checkpoint, cool. I'm just picking up right where I left off, but you might not get to use it later on in the game. There's a strategy element to it that I actually really appreciated that you don't see as often in platformers. And it also is a way to make the game a little easier, I think, for it, is that you're deciding where your checkpoints are. What are you struggling with? Okay, put your checkpoint down here. You get the chance to immediately try instead of trying to lead up to it.
The only disadvantage that I could, and this did happen to me, is forgetting that you have it. Because you can get multiple items in this game.
And then you rotated through, and you wasted items a lot of times as well.
That is true. Well, that's because I kept, for some reason, forgetting the buttons, forgetting the controls. And I keep doing things when I meant to do other things. I don't know why.
But each level had its unique items, and that was really fun.
I think, you know what it is? I think it's because I'm so used to A being jump. That's the button that I kept wanting to press to jump, and I think...
That's fair.
That's fair. What was tripping me up, because I had a Super Nintendo console, and my brain just went, okay, A is jump, and it's not.
No, it is use your items. But I do like how unique the items were for each level. Like, that is something, that's a bit of detail they didn't have to do. They could have had one or two items that are in every level and just all you play. But making all the unique items that kind of go with whatever enemy you're fighting, I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
That's like a Looney Tunes touch that they didn't have to do, but it's clear they cared for the property.
Yeah, like, sure, there's custard pies in every level or whatever, but then you fight the bull and you get the little red cape with an anvil underneath it.
So good. The bowl level in particular was just, from just all the background characters, is just, that level is just dripping in Looney Tunes love.
Yeah.
Speaking of Looney Tunes touches that they didn't have to add, but they did, we haven't talked about your favorite part about this game yet, the level gags.
Yeah. The first level's level 1.1, so you think it's going to be like a Sonic game with zones or whatever. But no, as soon as you get to level 1.2, it swaps, and it's like, no, you're just in the Old West now, bitch.
And then it goes back to level 1.3, and then level 400, and it just, the gag keeps going on. Eventually, you have to solve complex equations.
I was
going to
say, possibly my favorite one is when you're, I'm guessing it's Marvin the Martian's level.
Yes.
Because it's in space, and it's a long division problem.
It is just, that is so Bugs Bunny. Like, that is so Bugs Bunny short that they would throw stupid things like that, but also be like, hey, you want to know what level it is? Solve this equation.
I bet I could figure out the equation right now if I found the level screen and used Google Lens. I could do it.
Man, I want so bad for the equation to be like numbers that spell out "you nerd."
It's like an unsolvable equation.
Yeah,
something like that. That would be very Bugs Bunny. But like, yeah, because they're taking from each of the different shorts for the levels. They just feel so in tune with what Looney Tunes and what those shorts are. It feels so in tune with the property, which greatly appreciate that it's not just a fun loading screen that you're like, oh, this looks cool, and then nothing to do with it the rest of the way.
Yeah. It's a neat detail, and I think that's what like elevates this game from being like, oh, it's just another, you know, licensed kids game or whatever, is all the little Looney Tunes touches that they put into it.
Yeah, the game oozes personality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, which sometimes was hard on the Super Nintendo, and you really had to, like, you weren't just trying to force a game out to get that personality. You had to spend your time and your craft on it, and making sure you were trying to get, because, you know, little details to be like, oh, we're going to make this sprite look this way, or we're going to make it doing this so we can make sure it's a Looney Tunes. Because they could have half-assed things on this in different points, and it would have still been a fine-playing platformer, but the extra stuff they do is what separates it.
Mm-hmm. It's not just a platformer with a Looney Tunes coat of paint, it's a Looney Tunes platformer.
Yes.
Which is very much appreciated. You know, and for us going to a Looney Tunes game, considering the last time we played one, we didn't have a whole lot to say.
That is something that I did when I wanted to say at the top, but I forgot about it. Is it safe to say that this game is better than Back in Action?
We'll see. I think there's a future season where we're going to go back and revisit it.
I was going to say we'll revisit Back in Action just because you might have noticed that every time we bring up an old episode, the one who brings it up is like, "Go listen to that. Don't listen to that. I hate that episode."
I mean, still listen to it, but you know, you can maybe mute it and then give us a 5-star review and just be like, this episode, like, was so good, like, yeah, I listened to it on mute.
I was gonna say, yeah, it was great. I
do it.
My favorite part was when they solved all the world's problems.
Been asked what's my least favorite episode, that is the one that has come up. That and G.I. Joe in the first season are the ones that I've answered.
Do what DC Bros did when Justice League came out and go on to ratings and be like, this was awful. 5 stars.
Yes, please. But I think this is just, it is always fun to go back and play Super Nintendo games. I think even bad Super Nintendo games, it is fun to go back and just feel that is the console that is like, it's retro, but also it's still, it's not, you know, trying to boot up the Nintendo or you know, the Atari, right. it has a lot of heart. It's when you really start to get a lot more heart in the way things looked in video games.
I think the reason that the Super Nintendo is so much easier to, well, maybe not the main reason, but it is like an aspect of it, of like why the Super Nintendo is so easy to go back to, is a lot of indie developers nowadays take a lot of influence from the Super Nintendo era.
Yeah.
And use it and use it in modern games, stuff like Stardew Valley or Shovel Knight. So it makes it a lot more digestible to go back to. At least,
that's yeah, because you didn't grow up in the Super Nintendo era, so that yeah. makes sense for you. You know, you did not grow up. You did not experience the Super Nintendo as a, you know,
as a wee lad.
The new hot thing.
When I was a young warthog. I don't know why that popped into my head.
But yeah, I think it was just, especially for a licensed game, I was not expecting to have as big of a smile on my face coming into this game as I did playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... Even for as frustrating as the game was, like it was really funny to keep falling in the same hole multiple times.
That's Super Nintendo game.
But eventually, after the 20th pitfall, I was like, all right, this isn't funny anymore. I'm done. It does get to that point, but it's, you know,
I think it's a game I would absolutely like to play more often. Like that is it's a game that I was like, yeah, I could see playing this. I think the only thing that I think would have helped is if it had some form of co-op play in it or something, like, you know, maybe another character where you rotated between a la like Mario, Luigi, or Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong, where each two people taking turns.
Yeah, Porky's there for some reason. He's like, oh my god, I'm horrified.
That would be the bonus game. Yeah, it would be Porky. Please. any other of like the gameplay stuff or the controls you guys want to mention?
I will say, this is just a problem with the Super Nintendo platformers of the time. I feel like some of the enemies take a little too long to kill.
Yeah, a lot of the enemies have too much health.
Specifically in like level 3.1, which is actually level 4 because this game likes its gags. there's these big bad wolf enemies that. Specifically, there's one that like huffs and puffs bricks, and that one takes like way too long to kill.
Yeah.
Like that's basically a mini boss, but it still acts like just a normal enemy.
That's so. Where the platformers on the Super Nintendo, like the Mario games, Mario World or Yoshi's Island or the Donkey Kong games, especially, why they have stood the test of time and are still played consistently by professionals,
right?
And things like that. It's because enemies aren't, you know, it's not, I'm going to have to jump on an enemy, you know, you will see an enemy, you know how many hits it takes to kill that enemy. You see that enemy, you know. And a lot of these other games, it was inconsistent how many hits. Like, I would, you know, depending on how you landed on the weird, slingshotting pigs, it might take 2 hits, it might take 7 hits, you know.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I feel like, because Bugs has a kick attack that does more damage, I feel like if you maybe could have charged that kick up,
mm-hmm.
like Bugs had a little animation where he was like spinning his foot and then attack.
You can do a Bugs Bunny spin attack later in the game. I saw that, but it costs health to do it.
Yeah, so.
Which, you know, that's a risk reward sort of thing. But I just, that is definitely a thing that's like, if you just, from the get-go, when you saw an enemy and as you encounter, you're like, okay, I know now whenever I counter this enemy, it's 1 hit or 2 hits. You just kind of know, because you know in a Mario game, all right, that's a Koopa. All right, if I bounce on it once, boom, bounce on it twice. Oh, I can't actually kill this thing unless I am in this power-up. Things like that. These sort of games, this Lion King and the ilk like it, the licensed platformers, kind of blur the lines of how many times you need to hit your opponents to
right.
kill them. And that is something that can be a little bit of frustration. But overall, still, very fun game, good time.
You know, if I could add like just one level to this game, I would add like a mini game level where you're racing Cecil, and it looks like it's gonna be really easy. And then like the further you go, he just pops up out of nowhere right next to you, and like the cheating bastard he is. I think that'd be really funny.
Remember that one Looney Tunes show episode where he pulls a gun on Bugs?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you haven't seen that?
I don't remember that one.
There's a Looney Tunes tangent on this podcast? No.
Looney Tunes? There's
an episode where Cecil, like, fakes getting his shell cracked for the insurance money. And Bugs figures it out. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go to the cops. And you see Cecil pull out a very real-looking revolver and just aim it at Bugs. Like, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Jeez. I remember the one where Bugs dresses up like a turtle and Cecil dresses up like a rabbit, and a bunch of rabbits shoot themselves in the head at the end. I remember that one.
Yeah, I was thinking of the newer ones. My bad.
Okay.
To tangent off of this tangent, back to this game, but one of the, there's a great gag later in the game. with how you beat Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah. how you beat Tasmanian Devil, it's the classic Bugs Bunny thing.
Bugs and drag.
Bugs dresses up as a woman to distract Taz, but instead of like luring him off a cliff or something, no, Taz's wife comes out and beats him up because he's leering at other women.
So good. So good. Bugs is the greatest drag queen of all time. but it's utilized in this game, and that's awesome. Like, I love the charm and the style of this game that I really can overlook almost all the flaws of this game because it just nails it's even more so than say like both the VeggieTale games that we played, like that just oozed VeggieTales. Mm-hmm. Like that same thing, we're like, look, we know this game's probably not as good, and we're like one of the few humans that are gonna love this game. But this type of game is like, I think it's a good game, but if you're a Looney Tunes fan, it's a great game.
Yes. I think that's exactly where I am. Like, if you're a Looney Tunes fan, pick this game up.
You're gonna love it.
Yeah, dust off your old Super Nintendo, go find a Super Nintendo, emulate this bitch, do whatever you need to do, and check it out, because it is absolutely worth
it. Get it running on a pregnancy test like Doom.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that. Okay, you know the reason why, again, odd tangent, you want to know the reason why Doom is playable and like everything?
Why?
It's the engine. John Romero was so for using this engine that he ended up using it in a way where like it can be played on anything.
That's amazing. Awesome.
So like he was so like, I'm gonna use this engine. It's like, this engine's really basic. It can be copied to anything. I don't care. I'm going to use this engine. I'm going to show I can do it. Cool, you can. Now Doom can be played on everything.
On everything.
That's amazing. But on this podcast, we ask two important questions of every game that we play. The first is, how does it hold up?
I mean, we've waxed pretty poetically about it.
Unbelievably well. Legitimately, graphically, sprite work-wise... Yes, it has its flaws sometimes as a platformer and different things. What game didn't in this era? But everything that you want to, like, you boot it up, you're like, this also could have been on the PlayStation and I would not have noticed. Like, if you played this on the PlayStation, I'd be like, yeah, that's a good sprite work PlayStation game and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it is, only because of, like, the sort of pixelated nature of it, it still kind of looks of its time, but it's...
We're also
really well made.
We're also playing it on, you know, an actual, you know, modern TV versus, you know, that also does change a lot of the way that things look. So, but yeah, I think this game and we've only played a couple Super Nintendo games, but yeah, this is
of the ones we've played, this is my favorite mm-hmm. so far.
I think I still lean towards Battletoads, but also, you know.
Yeah, but
that's also some nostalgia speaking.
I love me some beat-em-ups, but I also love me some platformers.
Look, both Battletoads and this game both beat me in the dick about an equal amount.
And you had a smile on your face there.
I did. That is true. I probably enjoyed myself more playing this game than I did
the Looney Tunes fan absolutely came out in all of us. We were just like, yee.
You're so giddy.
But... Yeah, I think it holds up really well.
Mm-hmm.
The second question we ask of every game that we play, would you like to see a remake or a reimagining in a modern setting?
Hell fucking yeah.
You know what I would love? I would love to see this game get the DuckTales remastered treatment.
I was going to go the same route.
You were going to? Yeah.
Yeah, like paint it over with actual like 2D hand-drawn graphics. Mm-hmm.
Yes, hand-drawn, add some more like voice acting moments. And
get Eric Balza to do all the voices.
Yes.
Literally all of them. I'm pretty sure he does every single Looney Tune right now.
Well, at the moment he does.
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten fired yet.
That's what I'm saying. I said at the moment.
Oh, you did? I didn't hear you.
Fucking hell.
Sorry.
Yes, he still has a job currently.
Anyways.
But yes, I would love to see... I would take a remaster. I would take just a port. I would take a full-scale ground-up remake.
Yeah,
I'd take a reimagining that took this story and took it into a different genre. You could do anything with this game, and I'm okay with it.
Put this story and put it in a Gears of War clone, maybe.
The bonkers thing is you actually could kind of do it with all the bullets and stuff flying around that you are trying to have more of like dodge and cover sort of thing.
It's the Bugs Bunny real-time strategy game.
You could do it! You could do every genre with this game.
never would happen because that would it would be way too much money to spend. But it would be funny if they remade this game and every level was a different genre.
That would be ridiculous. And that would be like way
you
too
do
hard.
Like you do a 2D platform on one level, and then the next level it's all of a sudden 3D. They give Bugs a Glock. All right, shoot, baby.
Or every 3 years they release a new version of the game, which is in a different genre. Today we're playing Rabbit Rampage in the fighting game. Today we're playing it in the K-pop music game.
Playing it as a rhythm game.
We're playing it as a Dance Dance Club.
I was like going to say they have a DDR pad that you have to come with in Bugs.
Weird ass mo-capped Bugs.
Oh man.
Look like the Mario DDR or some shit.
Because of the way the game is set up, the way it plays, the way it has everything, there's unlimited possibilities if they wanted to. And this studio is remaking a lot of their older games. I don't think they have the Looney Tunes license anymore. I don't know what they can do with this game. I don't know if they are. But I would love to see more either re-release or I would love to see...
To date this podcast, Epic Mickey just got announced to get a remaster.
That's right.
And that is... THQ Nordic technically owns that game. It just uses Disney license. So I'm wondering if they couldn't do something for this, but I don't know. I am a big fat dum-dum, so I don't know shit about licensing.
Like I don't know what the licensing is, but I'm pretty sure they could probably release a remaster or they could port it or maybe a slight HD remake, probably. Right. No problem. I don't know about a full-scale remake or, you know, actually remaster type of thing, what they could do or where the licensing would be. But, you know, considering that who owns the license likes to dick around with fucking Looney Tunes, you know, we might never get a Looney Tunes game again. Sorry, that's depressing.
Breathe.
Hashtag fire David Zasloff or free Coyote vs. Acme.
We're both.
Save Coyote vs. Acme. Release Coyote vs. Acme. Just fucking do it, you stupid pieces of shit. And fucking charge.
Yeah.
God, why are you so fucking stupid?
And we almost went through the whole episode without...
No, I knew, I knew. I literally, once we got through the intro and didn't mention it, I knew exactly where I was going to bring it in. This is the actual host brain worked in. I was like, I know where I want this. I know where they want this.
See,
we really want... This is because we've talked all about the game. Talked about the remakes, possibility, all this, everything. I just wanted to take a couple of minutes on here. Yes, we're probably dating the podcast. Yes, maybe, you know... If you're listening to this off in the future, maybe it's been released. I don't know. But I did want to spend just a couple minutes and just say, hey, we love artistic creation. We talk about movies. We talk about video games. I've talked about TV shows. We have acknowledged a lot of things. We have an entire 3-part episode over on our Patreon that is entirely about what we would do with a Looney Tunes movie. And we recorded this, and then I heard about and saw a trailer for Coyote vs. Acme, and immediately go, oh my gosh. I went from, oh, I don't think Looney Tunes can be made into a movie, to be like, yeah, that's how I would do it. Right there. That's how I would have done it. I should have done that there. And the fact that we may not get it, for those people who created it, those people who worked on it and everything, that sucks. For everyone who likes Looney Tunes and has kind of sat back and just waiting for something good, even if the movie is mid, it'd be better than some of the stuff we've gotten recently. Just using the Looney Tunes license in a way. And yes, we're going to get a Looney Tunes movie that's not that later this year. That is something. Hey, release Coyotes vs. Acme. There's my soapbox. Release it.
Yes.
There's no reason to make a tax write-off. There's no reason, because right now you have all the power in your hand. If you released it tomorrow, I can guarantee you would make more in box office revenue than you would ever make in a tax write-off.
Yes. Yes. Anyways.
Thank you all for listening.
I'm glad we were able to talk about that. I almost wasn't sure like if we were, but I'm glad we did.
We tend to.
It's something that does need to be said.
It's not that we shy away from topics. It's just when they generically, or they would come up, or, you know, we have a guest who wants to talk about things.
That did happen.
But
that did happen.
This is something that's clearly near and dear to all three of our hearts with a lot of passion. You heard it from Thomas. You heard the passion from Thomas.
Yes.
I apologize for your ears.
But hey. Release Coyote vs. Acme, and you know what? Play Bugs Bunny Rabbit Rampage on the Super Nintendo. But what do you guys think? Do you guys like this game? Do you have a passion for Looney Tunes?
What would you do with a new Looney Tunes game?
We would love to hear that. That's something we would love to hear. Drop us an email. bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. That's bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. Maybe you have a favorite Looney Tunes short. Maybe you have a favorite Looney Tunes movie or a video game that you want us to talk about. You can do that. Go over to our Patreon, patreon.com/whatthebleep. Subscribe to our Super Bleephead tier, $15 a month, and tell us to watch it or play it, and we'll do that. We had one recently that just dropped, again, to date this podcast, we just had one recently just dropped where we played a game that someone suggested. We will do it. We will do it almost immediately, as soon as we can. So feel free to do that. And the final selfless plug here, check out our YouTube channel. There's not a lot on it at the time of recording this, but we got all our episodes there. Plus, we have our tier list, and we have something really, really fun coming down the pipe that's going to be hitting on the YouTube. So go over to YouTube.com. You can find us.
I mean, wouldn't it already be out by the time this episode goes up?
No.
Oh, cool. All right, I'm stupid.
Probably not. But if it's not, if it is, go over. See all the goodness. We have great stuff coming on there.
See all the goodness.
YouTube.com. What the bleep? Bleep you playing. Bleep your tears. Look at all the stuff we have there.
Look at all this bleeping stuff we have.
I know. And with that,
look at this bleep. Isn't it bleep?
Don't you think my collections come bleep?
That's all, folks.
Release Coyote vs. Sacme.
Burn it.